This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisan. It's 7.36 in the morning, Friday the 24th of January, which means in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill, where Noelle Lim speaks with Tan Sri Dr. Jeffrey Chia, founder and chairman of Sunway Group.
Yeah, well, he's going to tell us. Of course, he's the founder and chairman of Sunway and founding trustee of the Jeffrey Chia Foundation. He's going to tell us, we're going to ask him about his backstory, about developing Banda Sunway, how he actually managed to weather two major recessions, his vision for education, which includes involving Harvard and MIT, possibly setting up centres in Sunway. And of course, this interview is in conjunction with International Day of Education.
All right, so if you're interested in listening to that conversation, be sure to tune in after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. Now, in the meantime, taking a look at what's been happening on the international front, it's going to be a quiet Lunar New Year for the cities of Wuhan and Huanggang in China, both in the Hubei province. Yesterday, the government temporarily shut down its public transport in Wuhan in a bid to halt the spread of the Wuhan virus. So the quarantine of Huanggang was announced later the same day. Those living in the cities have been advised not to leave, to avoid crowds and to minimize public gatherings.
Yeah, this move takes place during the Chinese New Year holiday period, where millions of Chinese are expected to travel for their festivities. This is not something that we are unfamiliar with in Malaysia. It happens here as well. Maybe not in the millions, though. And Wuhan itself is a city of 11 million people. Just for context, KL, the greater KL, that's 7 million people. So just think about that for a second. While Huang'an has around 6 million residents. Now, the illness has spread to other parts of China, with some cases reported in other countries, including US, South Korea, Japan, and Thailand. And so far, there are more than 500 confirmed cases, and 17 people have died so far.
Yeah, but all the fatalities so far have been in Hubei, the province around Wuhan. And the World Health Organization, or WHO's Emergency Committee, has been holding meetings this week to discuss the scale of the outbreak and the international response that it might warrant.
So for an update on this and for some insight into policy responses that are being carried out, we have on the line with us Dr. Yingru Lo, WHO representative to Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam and Singapore. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dr. Lo. So how serious of a threat is the Wuhan virus from the WHO's perspective?
Good morning. Actually, the Emergency Committee of WHO convened yesterday for the second time and has decided that this is an emergency in China, but it has not yet become a global health emergency, but it may yet become one. So the Director General of WHO can ask the committee to reconvene on short notice as the situation requires.
So how does the WHO decide on the threat level of an infectious disease, something like SARS or even the Wuhan virus?
So as you may aware, or maybe just to explain to the reader, the public health emergencies of international concerns are defined by the International Health Regulations from 2005. And under these international health regulations, the WHO Director General can decide to invite an emergency committee to get advice on whether or not an event constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. But before that, the Director General of WHO consults with the state party, with the government on the territory of which the event is occurring, to review the information and evidence on whether the event constitutes a public health emergency committee of international concern or not. And this actually has happened. WHO has been in very close contact with the government of China, and there was also a visit of an independent group of experts to work with the Chinese authorities and come to a decision for China.
Oh. And Doctor, you mentioned, it has been declared an emergency in China, but what does it mean then?
Well, the Chinese authorities have taken their measures. They have decided to impose travel restrictions. And in addition to the recommendations of WHO.
So how should we read, actually, this move to impose quarantine and transportation limitations? Would it serve to create more panic in the regions? How is this going to be interpreted?
So maybe first of all, I would like to emphasize that every country makes its own decisions how far they would like to take the measure. So WHO usually does not recommend travel restrictions, although intuitively they seem like the right thing to do. And the reason is because that can cause social disruption and is very resource intensive, and the cost usually outweigh the potential benefits.
And what has been the policy response from other countries in the region, such as Malaysia and Singapore? Is there more that should be done or can be done at this stage?
So WHO has been in very close contact with the authorities in Malaysia and in Singapore, as well as in all the other countries. So we have provided all our technical guidance and advice, shared it immediately with them. So the measures taken in Malaysia and in Singapore are in sync with what WHO is recommending.
And Doctor, what are some of the policy lessons that we've actually learned from the SARS epidemic in 2003 that we can actually apply in this current situation?
I think the number one lesson learned is to be transparent, to share data very early with other countries. So I think the Chinese authorities have done very well. They have very early contacted WHO, had discussions with WHO about the suspected outbreak, and they have shared the virus sequences so that diagnostics can be developed, also and the diagnosis can be made in other countries immediately. And that's very, very important. Be transparent and share the information.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dr. Low. That was Dr. Yingru Low, WHO representative to Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam and Singapore, talking to us about the Wuhan virus that has been spreading in parts of China. Now, this is quite something that we're going to be watching very closely, particularly as we start to see the economic impact of the virus also starting to come into play, because we've been seeing healthcare stocks on a bull run in the past few days, whereas travel stocks and tourism-related stocks have also been coming down. But the Economist Intelligence Unit also believes that if the spread of the virus, this current coronavirus, reaches SARS-like proportions, it could actually reduce China's real GDP growth in 2020 by between 0.5 to 1 percentage points against a baseline forecast of 5.9%, which was already slower than what China is used to seeing.
Yeah, and I mean, the hardest hit sectors would include things like logistics, travel, tourism, as well as the labor-intensive industries. And the question that, bringing it back closer to home, the question on my mind is, how is this going to affect Visit Malaysia 2020? Because this is supposed to be the year where tourists are supposed to flock to Malaysia and boost our economy and all of that. But with China being such a large part of the tourists that come here, or actually to the rest of the world, really, how is this going to affect the growth that we're supposed to see from Visit Malaysia 2020?
Well, one indication of this is to actually just look at Genting, Malaysia, right? Because that's a proxy towards tourism. I mean, another one would be probably Air Asia. And you have actually seen the share price come under pressure. Just before all this, at the beginning of the year, it was hovering around the 620 levels, and today it's 590, so it's already down like maybe 20 cents. So, you know, but it's still very early days yet. And fortunately for us, we haven't reported a single case of this Wuhan virus in KL. They have been suspected, but none confirmed.
Yeah, so just for context, in the first half of 2019, Malaysia registered a total of 1.55 million tourists from China specifically. So that's a large proportion of tourists that are coming to the country. And I think in total, that amounted to just under 3 million for 2019.
So the problem here is that there's still a lot we don't know about the Wuhan virus. So it seems what we know is that it seems to start with a fever followed by a dry cough, and then after a week leads to shortness of breath and some patients are needing hospital treatment. There's no vaccine at present, so the only way of stopping the virus spreading is to diagnose people early and then treat them in isolation, because we also do now know that it is transmitted from human to human rather than from animal to human, as was first suspected. So The Bigger Picture team did discuss the pathology of the Wuhan virus with microbiologists Professor Jamal Aiching Sam of University of Malaya earlier this week, and you can catch their conversation on the BFM app or on Spotify. And I mean, it goes without saying that if you're also planning to travel abroad, exercise precautions and try and maintain the highest standards of hygiene possible. And if you start to show symptoms, seek treatment as soon as you can.
Yeah, I can't imagine how scary this must be for people who are in those cities.
Yeah, I mean, being locked down, right? It's almost like, but it almost sounds like a horror movie in some ways,
it really
right?
does. It really brings off images of games and movies that we've watched in the past.
But you know, the thing about this also is that how is it going to impact the economy? How is it going to impact markets, right? So if we look at some of the reports coming out, I mean, you know, GDP did drop in China. And if we look at SARS as an example, the real GDP in China did drop from 11.1% year on year to 9.1% in the following quarter. So quite significant cuts there. And that was during the time when China was, you know, having a fantastic economy. It was booming at double digit. But now when it's at 6%, the impact might be more felt. This was not only just China, because it was also felt in Singapore. So Singapore Straits Times Index came down from the peak 36%. Hong Kong was down close to 50%, and even Cathay SIA their share price took a real hit, down 30%, 41% respectively. So let's hope that this Wuhan virus is nothing like SARS, because the impact could be very much felt. But the good thing, or the only little silver lining in that cloud, was that markets recovered very quickly after that.
Indeed, and we will be watching this very closely and bringing you as many updates as we can. Right now, though, we are heading into a few messages, and then after that, we'll be speaking with Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, on the Corruption Perceptions Index. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.